Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Sunrise Financial Results for the third quarter 2013. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference call is being recorded today. I would now like to hand over the conference to your speaker, Mr. Uwe Schiller, Director of Treasury and Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello and welcome to the Sunrise Communications Holdings SA Q3 2013 financial results. With me today on the call is Libor Fonchina, CEO, André Krause, CFO, and Tobias Kistner, Corporate Communications. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to André Krause to talk you through the financial results.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody, from my side. As usual, I would like to guide you through the presentation that we have provided, and would like to start off on page number 2 with the key messages on the financial performance of the third quarter 2013. So firstly, and most importantly, our financial results are in line with our guidance. We have also for the first time included the acquisitions of Lebara and Ortel, and they have positively contributed to the results. On EBITDA with 3.7 million, on revenues with 15 million, and on the prepaid subscriber base with 343,000 prepaid subscribers added through those acquisitions. If we look at the revenues, the third quarter revenues have increased year on year by 3 million to 520 million, which is equivalent to 0.6% growth. Organically, the revenues would have been decreased by 12 million or equal to minus 2.3%. Key drivers of the decrease, as in the past, have been the migration effect towards lower price plans driven by the price reductions we have seen last year, but also some lower roaming revenues during the summer period compared to prior year. From a customer base perspective, we talked about the prepaid subscriber development on the back of the acquisitions. Also, the postpaid net adds are quite positive for the third quarter with 16,000. We would also like to mention that in terms of migrations of customers onto new price plans, meanwhile, the vast majority of our customers, well above 70%, have already migrated to the new price plans. Thus, additional pressure from migration losses is quite limited going forward. The recurring Q3 EBITDA has increased by 1.7 million compared to prior year on a level of 170 million, which is plus 1%, organic minus 1.2%. And here I think you can also see this is pretty much in line with the guidance that we have given of being broadly flat year on year. This is additionally also supported with the LTM EBITDA as of September, which has declined by a minus 1.3%. to a level of 617.4 million from 625.7 as of December 2012. Looking at the investments, in the first three quarters we have increased our investments by 33% to a level of 177 million, and this has been driven mainly by the completion of the UMTS 900 swap that we were doing, but also upgrade capacity and increasingly in the past couple of months also an acceleration of our LTE rollout investments. Lastly, looking at the cash positions, our operating free cash flow has increased by 48.3 million, which is plus 60% to 128 million compared to the third quarter in 2012. And our ending cash position at the end of the third quarter was 125.8 million. And I think that also again shows that there's a strong cash conversion of the business on an ongoing basis. So this is the overview that we want to provide for the third quarter. Now I would like to move to the next slide to give you a little bit more light on the subscriber development, starting off with the mobile subscribers. On the third quarter, you can note that firstly, our postpaid subscribers quarter on quarter have been growing by 16,000 and year on year have been growing by 66,000. Additionally, you see the jump in the prepaid customer base, which is 343,000 customers that have been added through the acquisition of Lebara and Ortel, and therefore the total subscriber base narrowing now to 2.5 million. On the ARPU side, the increase of the prepaid subscriber base had a dilutionary effect. So you can see that half of the ARPU dilution that we see from 46.1 to 40 is actually coming from the increase on the prepaid subscriber base, and as those customers do provide lower ARPUs, there's a dilutionary effect coming. The other remaining reduction is due to the price reductions that we have seen in the market last year, which have now actually been trickling through our customer base as well. With that, looking at the prepaid subscriber base and the market performance in a little bit more detail, you know that we are also giving a pro forma 12 months definition customer base to be comparable to our competitors. Looking at those figures, our Q3 ending base would result in 2.33 million prepaid subscribers, which would be an increase of more than 500,000 of prepaid subscribers. We haven't seen yet the full market picture for the third quarter, therefore we are not able to actually provide you our market share for the third quarter, but we did a sort of pro forma analysis. Exclusive of the acquisition, we would have at the end of the second quarter a market share on prepaid of 24.1. Including the acquisition, our market share would have grown to 25.5%. This is an increase of 1.4 percentage points. To be clear about how those numbers come to place, as those customers have before been MVNO customers, none of the operators has counted them as customers, so therefore the market has also growing by that amount of customers. Thus, the market share increase is only 1.4 percentage points. Nevertheless, I think we show a good development in terms of importance of this market segment. Furthermore important, and you see that in the text, we with those two acquisitions meanwhile now actually have a market share in the ethnic market segment of more than 80%, which means that we have quite a strong market position to drive this market profitably and also to rule quite a bit how this market is actually developing going forward. Thus, we also have good relations to those customers, which enables us to further do cross and upselling of additional products into those growing size of the market. Now with that, looking at our fixed line subscriber development on slide number 5, in total we do see the continuing trend of a slightly declining customer base. Within, you will notice that the 2P subscriber base is actually shrinking, but on the other hand side, the 3P subscriber base, including our TV offers, is on a steady growth path. And again, for the quarter, we were able to add another 7,500 customers, now meanwhile reaching a TV subscriber base of 66,000. And the vast majority, more than 95% of those customers, are also on a DSL infrastructure. So that gives you quite an impression of how the fixed line dynamics look like. On ARPU, the numbers look quite positive on both. Even if we look at the 2P or the 3P, both show an increasing trend. On the 2P side, this is mainly driven by the introduction of the new tariffs that we did in the first quarter, and on the back of that, an improved product mix. And secondly, as more and more customers are migrating to TV and also higher value TV products, we also do see that the 3P ARPU is increasing by 3% quarter on quarter. With that, looking at the overall financials, and I think I have shared with you the high-level numbers already on the summary page, so I would probably like to draw your attention on a couple of numbers on this page rather than going through everything. What is, I think, interesting is that the revenue growth for the quarter compared to the prior year is at minus 2.3% if we exclude Libara and Ortel, whereas the full year, year-to-date number was at minus 3.3%. So we do see that there is sort of a slowdown of the revenue decline. And as we mentioned, the majority of customers have been migrated, so we are actually stabilizing on that end. The other element I would like to flesh out is the recurring EBITDA performance, as shown already, with a year-on-year growth of minus 1.7%. And if we look on the third quarter versus third quarter last year, we have been able to grow by 1% from 170 to 172. And the other element, the CapEx number increasing from 133 to 177 million, which is indicating our increased investments. Nevertheless, if we look at the total operating free cash flow, despite the fact that EBITDA is rather flattish and CapEx has gone up, we have been able to improve our working capital compared to prior year, and thus the operating free cash flow for the 9 months has been growing from 202 to 301 million. So I think that shows quite strong cash generation capabilities of the business. With that, I'd like to give you a little bit of insight on where we are spending our CapEx on slide number 7. So here you see the 133 million of last year compared to the 177 million in the first 9 months of this year. You see the split of the investments where the vast majority, 124 million, has been going into the mobile networks. Here it's very much about, as I mentioned, the swap that we have done in the UMTS 900, but in the last quarter mainly also mobile data capacity, quality investments we have done into HSPA, enabling our sites furthermore to 21/42 megabits per second speed, and also increasingly also the accelerated LTE rollout. On the landline networks, you see an investment volume of 36 million here. It's also about our backbone connectivity to the sites where we are connecting many of our mobile sites with fiber, but also do some selected fixed net investments in order to improve our fixed net structure. Plus, in this 36 million, there's also included equipment that we capitalize, which are customer premise equipments that we do on the back of the IPTV offering mainly. The remainder is in IT investments on level of 15 million and some other. So you see the vast majority of our investment are driven by network investments, and within network, it actually is about improving our mobile network capabilities. The last financial slide is on our net debt and leverage ratios on slide number 8. If you look at the column for September 30, then you see our total debt at a level of 2.4 billion 21. Deduct the cash position at the end of the quarter of 126 million, we come to a net debt of 2.295 billion, which gives a net debt per EBITDA leverage ratio of 3.7 times. So slightly improved since end of last year. If you add on top of that the senior PIK toggle notes with 637 million, then you come to a net debt EBITDA ratio on the MCIG level of our business of 4.7. Lastly on that page, and I think many of you were worried or concerned about the question of our capability to actually cash pay the interest and our ability to actually provide sufficient net income basket, you see that the balance at the end of the quarter was 32 million, and you also see the utilizations in between. So I think we have demonstrated that we are able of delivering sufficient net income basket capacity to serve the interest payments on the PIK instrument, and we also continue to actually do that in the future. With that, we come to the end of the financial section. I think overall a quarter in line with our expectations, with some positive developments on the customer side. So after we had really seen three more difficult quarters from top line development, I think we see quite some recovery, and we are quite positive on the outlook of the business going forward. Nevertheless, we uphold our guidance that we have given, being broadly flat in terms of EBITDA for the full year. With that, I'd like to hand over to Libor to give you some other highlights from the quarter.
Thank you, Andre. Hello, everybody. I would basically just like to focus on the track of Sunrise next to providing the best value on the market proposition, also going back on the track of innovation. The first one is the launch of iPhone, where we have just continued to maintain our position of where we have started with the flat rates and the smartphones on the market, also just continuing to get a high share of iPhone users. We had a new campaign of being the first with this iPhone launch, and it proved successful. So we also had, I would say, bigger than our normal market share iPhone shipments in this month. So it was a good launch for us on with the new iPhone sales this month. The next big thing is we launched the completely new Sunrise TV features, a big upgrade of our product. We reinforced our leadership. We were the first one to put on the market the Comeback TV with 30 hours, and we have now extended this to 7-day window, which really allows our customers to have a very flexible and personalized view. Next to that, because of this big content of new accessible programs, we have added a recommendation engine, which allows, it's like intelligence behind, which allows the customers to personalize to their personal taste and viewing habit. We have also just announced to be the first provider on the market of the new TV series, where you can see them a day after they've been eligible in US to be broadcasted for the download. You can have this in Switzerland as well. And last but not least, we maintain to be the provider with the most HD channels in the market. We've added a number of new channels in the last quarter to address the customer needs across different parts of you know, languages as well. So that's on the, I would say, on our innovation part. We have also continued to strengthen on the two areas. Andre already mentioned our investments in the network, where we continue to improve and really upgrade our network performance. We have also continued our focus on the customer care, because we do believe this is the core part of a sustainable growth in the market, having a very good customer care. And we have, in the last period, increased more than 20% the front-end capacity, the availability of our call centers, and speed to answer. And we are focusing on further improving the quality of service that we give, at the same time also improving the platforms in order to have a automated and as customer-friendly support as we can. We have added a new member to our management team at the beginning of the month to underpin the reinforcement and the importance of customer service. So at the beginning of the month, we announced that Max Nunziata joined the management team as a Chief Customer Experience Officer. And I believe that with those two cornerstones, which is a very good network performance as well as the good customer service, you know, we have a solid base for, you know, continue to grow for the quarters to come. So with that, I just pass it over to Uwe.
Yeah, thanks, Libor. Operator, may I ask you to open the Q&A session?
Would you like to take the questions?
Yes, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register for questions, you will have to press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, that's star 1 on your telephone keypad to register for questions and the hash or pound key to cancel. There will be a short silence to allow participants to register for questions. Our first question comes from the line of David Levinson. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company's name.
Levinson. Good afternoon. This is David Levinson from Goldbridge Capital. I have three questions. Firstly, on your full year guidance of flat EBITDA for the year, is that inclusive of Hortel Lebara or inclusive of? Second question is on the internet subscribers base. Can you tell us where they are churning to what competitor they're going, you think? And my third question is on the change in working capital. Can you describe what caused it, and could there be a reversal in the following quarter? Thank you.
Okay, well, thanks for your question. So, firstly, our guidance includes the acquisitions, and we always said our guidance was on recurring EBITDA. So, that's where it is. Your churn question on fixed line, if I got it right, it's a bit of guessing, but what we do see, of course, is there is quite some strength of cable offers in the market as they're offering attractive speeds at this point in time, while fiber coverage and offers are not yet as much developed. So we would assume that probably the broadest share of that is actually moving to high-speed cable offers. But on the other hand side, we are also working on improving our speed capabilities going forward. And as we have also announced our partnership with SFN, the Swiss Fiber Net, which enables us to actually have a decent fiber coverage soon and then also competing here more on a head-to-head basis. Last question was, if I got it, on net working capital and the improvement, where are they coming from? We have stated that all the time that on the back of good contracts that we have been able to renegotiate, we also have gained longer payment periods, and thus we were actually able to improve our net working capital. And then, of course, the normal, I would say, day-to-day net working capital management, which we put a focus on in order to avoid the large net working capital outflow that we have seen in the first quarter of 2012.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Jakub Dubajnevic. Please go ahead with your question, announce your company's name.
Hello, this is Jakub Dubajnevic, New Street Research. I have a question regarding your postpaid subscriber additions. I can see that on slide 3, I believe, you have actually restated those numbers compared to to what you have reported last quarter. So, for example, in Q2, you say there was 1,217,000. Last quarter, the reported number was 1,191,000, and you explained that the difference was due to mobile broadband subscribers. So that's fair enough. But then in Q3, the reported growth is 16,000. I imagine that those 16,000 also include mobile broadband subscribers, which you are adding. And correct me if I'm wrong, but have there been any postpaid subscribers in Lebara or Hortel? I'm just trying to understand what would your growth would be if we didn't have mobile broadband, and if we adjusted for mobile broadband and for Lebara and Hortel. So yeah, that would be my first question. And actually the second question, the networking capital you just answered. So yeah, let's focus on this one.
Okay, good. Thanks for your question. So firstly, with Lebara and Hortel, at this point in time, there are no postpaid subscribers. Mm-hmm. But of course, we think that there might be some potential going forward. But if you look at the numbers right now, it's exclusively prepaid. Then on your mobile broadband question, the reason for the restatement was that as part of our Internet Everywhere product launch, so the fixed line product, we have also bundled in for customers that actually chosen that option, mm-hmm. a mobile broadband product. Now, we haven't actually reported those customers as mobile customers in the past. And given the fact that this product has created quite some attention, we have actually restated the numbers to be correct on that side. For the third quarter alone, we don't give any product details on any quarter. So yes, there were also, of course, mobile broadband customers in, but it's a mix of all of the different products that we're offering.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes on the line of Kirsten Winterhager. Please go ahead with your question, announce your company's name.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Kirsten Winterhager from ICG. Most of my questions have been answered. I've just got one left, which is, can you comment on the pro forma full year EBITDA impact of the Lebara Hotel acquisition?
At this time, we don't give any pro forma statements on the full year acquisition of Lebara and Hotel.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from the line of Jean-Yves Guibert. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company's name.
Hello, good afternoon. It's Jean-Yves Guibert from BNP Paribas. I've got two or three set of questions, actually. The first one on your acquired revenue on EBITDA from Lebara and Hotel. How does a 25% implied margin compare with your legacy prepaid business? And whether it's above or below, what's going to be your strategy to bring it in line, or actually to increase your legacy prepaid to this level? In terms of contribution, in Q3, on average, how many months in this particular quarter have Lebara and Hotel contributed in terms of revenue and EBITDA? Or say differently, on a full quarterly run rate basis, what would have been their contribution, revenue and EBITDA, please? If I attempt to strip out the Lebara and Hotel from your reported Q3 ARPU, I calculate a blended ARPU of 44 Swiss francs for Q3. Does this figure seems does it seem accurate, please? And last question, if I may. So when you refer to your internet everywhere offering, which has been therefore now which account into your postpaid your postpaid segment, is that a data only subscription, please? Thank you.
Okay, good. Let me start from the beginning. So firstly, on the implied margin, your calculation is a bit misleading because as a reality, Lebara was already a prepaid operator on our network. So on top of the margin that you see, we also do have the MVNO margin that we are doing with that business. So if we look at the combined business and the margin of that business, that is fully in line with our prepaid. It's a bit different on Hotel, but Hotel is quite small, and we are intending to actually bring Hotel customers onto our network with the beginning of 2014. But that doesn't really impact the numbers that that you are looking at. So that's on the margin question. And both companies were in for the full quarter as we have acquired them at the end of last. Hotel, honestly, is missing like 2 weeks, but that doesn't make a material difference. So the run rate for the full quarter is what you have seen. On your ARPU question, honestly, we have not provided a more granular ARPU number for a reason. So your estimation is your estimation, and if you think that is done properly, then that is what it is, but we don't provide the detail.
And can you then confirm that the based on actually on the 343,000 new prepaid customers and on the positive impact on revenue of 50 million, that the implied obviously ARPU is 14.6 as far as the additional assets are concerned, and therefore it should be pretty straightforward to calculate what should be the implied blended ARPU for the legacy Sunrise business.
Well, I can follow your logic, but I will not comment on the number.
Okay, thank you.
And the last one was on the data product, whether it's a data product only. Yes, it is. It actually is the idea of the Internet Everywhere product is to provide not only the customers with a home solution, but with a solution that also can be used mobile, right? So that is the option that we have included, and these are customers that have chosen to actually use the option, and those we are now also counting on the mobile customer base side.
Okay, and then if I may, on a quick follow-up on that one. So under your previous reporting, in Q2, you recorded a flat postpaid in Q2, as opposed to now, under the new definition, Q2, a plus 20K. So I assume that this plus 20K was entirely coming from this data-only subscription. So going forward, in terms of from Q3 and onwards, you will no longer provide such a split. Is that correct?
That is correct. We have never in the past given any product details, and I think what you will see is the revenue development and also the customer base development, and of course we are up for increasing our revenues through good customer base growth and a good and decent product mix as in the
past. Does it have a dilutive impact on your on ARPU?
A slight one, yes.
Okay, and for reference, maybe I should ask the question directly, the question to the other operators, but from the reported figures from your competitors, do you know whether they include also data-only SIM subscription on a postpaid basis in their figures or not?
I can't really comment, but as far as we have read their statements so far, they do.
And additionally, the other operators also, I mean, like Swisscom is reporting M2M SIM cards.
Yep.
Numbers, and I think Orange also has some other SIM cards included. So you need to really ask the operator what their exact definition is and what kind of products they include or exclude.
So by that new definition, that brings you more to the same broadly level, excluding machine to machine, but that brings you more to the same level of comparison with the other operators.
Correct.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Divik Khanna. Please go ahead with your question and I'll see your company's name.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. It's Vivek Khanna from Deutsche Bank. A couple of questions, if I may. First of all, on Lebara, is it possible just to give us a feel as to what the wholesale revenues on an annual basis were before you made the acquisition? Second, question is with regards to fixed, or rather to broadband coverage and fiber coverage in general. Could you just provide an update as to where we stand from a coverage perspective? And then two other questions, if I may. First of all, on taxes, I'm just wondering, is there anything in the works by the government to change the rate of interest tax deductibility? And then finally, if I step back for a second and look at, you know, how the competitive environment is going to evolve looking forward, you know, an MVNO from Cablecom has been announced as to be expected. I'm just wondering, you know, what you're thinking about doing or how you're thinking about how the competitive dynamics is going to change and what you may or may not do. Thank you very much.
Okay. So unfortunately, on your first question, I can't give you the number. I could, but I don't want to. So we are not disclosing the wholesale revenues of Lebara. We didn't do that in the past, and we didn't do that for any other MVNO that we have. So please understand we're not sharing that one. On the fixed coverage question, so with our partnership with SFN, so the Swiss FiberNet Corporation, we have access to a coverage of between 10 and 15% and actually growing as more and more cities are actually being rolled out. And on with our partnership with Swisscom, we have access to a VDSL coverage of 80% plus, which is one of the largest VDSL coverages available in Europe. So in terms of broadband coverage, I think we are in a quite decent setup. Nevertheless, that is not aggressively enough reflected in our products right now, and that's one reason why you see that our 2P products are not actually growing, and this is something we are actively working on to improve that position. Your fourth one was on the competitive environment and the launch of the Cablecom mobile offer. Well, we are waiting for that one now for 2 years. It's announced again. We are this time it really looks like it's probably goes live. We need to see how it really looks like. We are expecting it to be more directed towards their own customer base, given the fact that they have a rather limited distribution capabilities, in particular also if it comes to mobile handsets. Nevertheless, we also take every competitor serious and we will observe what's happening, but we still believe that our offers are well positioned in the market. And we also think that there's room to maneuver given their the contractual limitations they probably have with their MVNO contract gives them limited degrees of freedom to move. Nevertheless, we will observe and potentially react if necessary, but we are not totally concerned. The rest of the market, actually we have seen rather calm. The typical tactical sales activities on the back of the iPhone. We think that we have been quite positively in the marketplace, in particular also with our TV innovations that we have commented on. So overall, no, I would say, big movements that we really have seen, rather a more or less steady development in the marketplace.
On the tax question, we currently do not foresee any changes in the tax environment for Sunrise.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Simon Duff. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company's name.
Simon Duff, M&G. Three quick questions, one on the M&A, one on the pick toggle coupon, and one on just a clarification around the organic reporting. On the Lebara and Autel acquisition, I think you disclosed 117 million consideration. And if we annualise the quarterly performance, if you captured most of the EBITDA for the quarter, that equates to around about an 8x multiple, which looks incredibly rich for an MVNO player. So can you just be a bit more specific about what the revenue or cost synergies are in terms of specific numbers that you think you're going to be able to derive that will make that acquisition value of 117 million make more sense versus an 8x valuation at present? And then on the pick toggle coupon, I mean, if I understand it correctly, I think there are two tests. It's not just a net income basket, but it's also a net cash test as well. So I just want to gauge your comfort with the 31 million net cash that you report as at the end of this quarter versus the requirement for 55 million net cash at a group level, pro forma any coupon payment that's going to be made in the first quarter of 2014. And then on the organic clarification, just am I right in thinking that if we strip out the hubbing and we strip out Lebara and Autel, revenues were down 5%, and at the EBITDA line, if I'm looking at the recurring EBITDA you declare, if I strip out Lebara and Autel, we're down 1%. I just want to make sure I'm comparing apples with apples.
Right. Starting with your question to the pick toggle coupon, I mean, at the moment, we do not foresee any issues with paying the coupon in March. Mm-hmm. There's sufficient net income basket, and our cash flow forecast is also sufficient to cover the coupon payment.
Okay. But just to be clear, I am thinking about it in the right way. You have to have 55 million versus your current 31 million, and that 55 has to be pro forma, the payment of 27 million semi-annual coupon, yeah?
Simon, where did you get the 31 from? We stated 126 million of cash.
But I think the test is net of any RCF drawdown.
I mean, I will come back to that one to you, but at the moment, the cash test can also be circumvented by other measures.
Okay. Can you describe those?
I mean, I will go into the details again later on, but not at the moment in this call, because I would like to read the documents carefully.
Okay.
But one easy way is always you can inject cash from further up in the structure.
Okay. That would be very helpful. We can talk about it offline. That would be very helpful.
Okay, so then if I go to your M&A question on the 117 million, so firstly, within the 117 million, there also was a cash position that we have taken over, so that's not the full net price that we actually have paid.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, your 8x multiple is also a bit misleading because we were already having quite some gross profit in the business from the MVNO of Lebara. So if you take that into equation, then the multiple that you come to is more a reasonable one. As I said earlier, we are not disclosing the number on that one, but I can assure you that we have not overpaid on the asset.
Okay.
And I think on your organic calculations, as far as I have followed them, they seem to be correct.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's star one on your phone to register for questions. We appear to have no further questions, so I'll hand the conference back to you.
All right. Thank you very much for participating in the call, and I wish you a nice day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.